Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am joined today by Dan Schaefer, founder of the Repopulation Area. And so we've been talking about the Republican primary for governor. So now let's switch gears and get your insights. And I'm sure you are have your finger a little bit more on the pulse than I do, since you are an actual journalist and I am just a comedian who doubles as a pundit who has opinions. And so I think it's less because it's not as clear of a head-to-head runoff as it feels like it is on the Republican side. So kind of where are we right now with the candidates who are fighting to be the person? I think it's like four. This Sunday, there's the debate, and there's five people who qualified to get there, right?
Yeah, there's five people who qualified in the debate for this Sunday. But there's really, you know, there's really four candidates who have polled really at a substantive level at all. It's Mandela Barnes, who was at 25% in the last Marquette poll, Alex Lazary at 21%. So there's a pretty significant drop off to the next candidate, Sarah Godlewski at 9%, Tom Nelson at 7%. So I think, you know, we don't have as stark of a, you know, divide between the top two and the rest of the field as we do in the Republican primary, but I think there is a top two. There is, you could maybe even consider it a top three, because I do think Godlewski is still a formidable candidate, but clearly
she did really
has
well
been behind
the,
Barnes and Lazary. Yeah,
she did really well at the convention, right? At the convention, the Democratic convention in La Crosse, where
it was kind of
flip-flop,
neck and neck more or less with Barnes at the top of the straw poll that was politics did there, I believe. Yeah.
So what? Because you wrote about this race specifically about a year ago, end of last year, end of 2021, and kind of made your predictions of where you thought everyone was going to land as more people joined the race. Cause at one point we also had like 12 people in the race.
Right. So yeah, late last year I did kind of a 2022 preview. And in that preview, I talked about how I thought Mandela Barnes would come in as the front runner. He's the lieutenant governor. He has statewide name recognition. He's reasonably well liked, but I think he's not the type of front runner where you would expect him to run away with the race and without seeing some sort of challenge. And so I wrote last year that I thought that challenge would probably come from Godlewski. You know, she had won the statewide election for treasurer, obviously not the most high profile of races, but a statewide race nonetheless. And, you know, from Wisconsin, I think she's pretty well liked within the party. So I thought she would be the one to really challenge Barnes, but I was wrong about that because so far it's been Lazary. And I think Lazary has run a really strong campaign, obviously put a lot of money into it, you know, no way around that. But I think he's, you know, run a lot of, I feel like he's run kind of an offline campaign in a lot of ways, where he has focused more, you know, on the more old school methods of reaching voters, like the TV ads, like the mailers, stuff like that. And has, you know, focused on the type of issues that poll just off the charts with Democratic voters, like $15 minimum wage and expanding access to healthcare and being pro-choice and, you know, all of these things that I think a number of voters are looking for and poll really well. So I think, you know, he's run a really strong campaign. I still think Barnes, especially after the last poll, has a pretty clear edge. But, you know, I think he's definitely solidified himself as kind of the number two in this race.
And then there's also Tom Nelson, who is really running at it hard, right? If there's any, as we just talked about, quote unquote, negative ads or specifically calling out your challenger or your competition, like Clayfish is doing to Michaels right now, there we've seen a lot less of that from anyone in the Democratic campaign or the race, except for Tom Nelson.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, the race has, any negativity in the race is focused on Ron Johnson, which he gives them so much material to run against. So I think, you know, most of the candidates have had their sights trained on Johnson, and of course, with good reason. But I think, you know, any negative campaigning that we have seen in this race, you know, I think has probably come from Nelson more than any other candidate. You know, maybe part of that is kind of polling in Forth. Maybe it's part of just the strategy behind his campaign. But I don't necessarily see it really working for him. You know, he's been in Forth throughout the race. And he's, you know, been running as kind of more of a Bernie Sanders style, Medicare for all, Green New Deal, progressive. And it just, you know, he'll have criticisms. He had that ad about, you know, giving money for the Bucks arena funding, which obviously went to Alex Lazary's family, and was something that Mandela Barnes had voted for when he was in the assembly. So I don't really see that those types of attacks are really connecting. I think so much of this race is going to be about Ron Johnson that I think voters want to see any negativity and criticism focused on Johnson as opposed to the other Democrats.
Which is interesting because ultimately, has for the layperson, I would not consider myself a layperson, but even I still don't know who I'm voting for. Like I have any of them necessarily done enough to differentiate themselves from one another besides, you know, some people obviously already know who they're voting for, but what is the strategy for any of them besides name recognition to really say, if we're all just against Ron Johnson, why me over the next person?
Right. Right. And I think, you know, there's some stories about that throughout the campaign too, where it's just like, hey, all of these candidates agree on a lot of the top issues that are at play in the Senate race. They all want to, you know, codify Roe. They all want to, you know, enact some sort of gun control. They want to get rid of the filibuster. They want to expand access to health care. You know, there's a lot of policy agreement among these candidates. So where do you draw the distinction among where you vote for? And you're that rare undecided voter, less than a month from the primary. So now that you've said that, you're going to get so many texts and emails and mailers coming to you, you know.
Well, that assumes, that's assuming that they're listening right now. So we'll see how popular
well,
the show is.
It
already is 2 weeks in. But yeah, you know, and I also think, what is the mental calculation that voters do in this? That is, and this is not new to this race. This is the presidential primary in 2020. It is. Mm-hmm. Who am I voting for, the person that I actually like the most, or am I voting for the person that I think can beat Ron Johnson? Right. And are those always the same two people for each voter's opinion? Do they think, does that, those two qualities overlap in one person? It's probably different for everyone, but I think that are people voting for the person that they actually think would do the best job versus who has the, looking at the landscape of a statewide election, who, because of our own assumptions and stereotypes of Wisconsin, thinks can win a statewide election? Because there is some, despite the fact that Mandela has raised a ton of money, leading in the polls, there are some people who do not think that he could beat Ron Johnson in a statewide election because he has some, you know, sound bites that have been so progressive that does that scare off the moderate swing voter? Despite mm-hmm. how much on record Ron Johnson has said, and still, what is it? Still 14% of people polled don't have enough information to have an opinion on Ron Johnson.
Yeah, you probably got one of my favorite statistics there, which is that I've been tracking over the years at the Recombobulation area, that when I started tracking this in 2019, there was like 30% of Wisconsin voters who had no opinion on Ron Johnson. Now it's down to 14%. And as that has shifted, as people have gotten to know Ron Johnson, they don't particularly like him. He's not a well-liked candidate. He's very deep underwater on the favorability ratings. But Wisconsin being Wisconsin and being one of the most polarized 50-50 states in the country, and this being, you know, a Republican advantage midterm year, like, it stands to reason that Ron Johnson has a pretty good chance of winning re-election. And I think part of the calculus for a lot of voters is just like, hey, I don't really have a strong opinion among these. They seem to agree on all of the, you know, a lot of the big issues in the Senate. Who's going to be the best candidate to beat him? Is it you know, is it a more moderate candidate that could beat him? Is it, you know, is it, could, you know, it, just a other side of the coin from what you were talking about with Barnes, could he drive turnout in places like Milwaukee? Could he drive turnout in Dane County, which is like the turnout powerhouse of the state? And, you know, and Barnes, too, I think has, you know, he's gotten endorsements from some pretty key national figures throughout this race that have shown that he can kind of speak to both wings of the party. You got an early endorsement from Elizabeth Warren. I also got an endorsement from Jim Clyburn, a moderate who was key in Joe Biden winning the South Carolina primary. He got an endorsement from Cory Booker, who I think he's campaigning with in Wisconsin this week. So I think, you know, I think he is trying to build a broader coalition than just saying, hey, progressive voters, vote for me. Like, I think he wants to, you know, broaden that coalition and bring people into the big tent.
Yeah. And it, you made an interesting point about who matches up best with an incumbent, an Evers incumbent, that affects turnout. Because if we think about 2018 and Tammy Baldwin being very popular, I'm sure had something to do with the 11,000 votes that Evers got to put him over the edge over Walker. And which, you know, because I think a lot of people would also say that having Mandela as a running mate in 2018, coupled with Tammy Baldwin, got Milwaukee to turn out because he was a Milwaukee guy, is a Milwaukee guy. And so is there different calculations of who helps turn out to secure Tony Evers based on who's most excited about each of the top four candidates? Have you thought through that of where, like, the different outcomes that could happen depending on who secures the nomination?
Well, yeah, I think when you, like, let's just keep talking about Barnes since he's the front runner here. So I think, you know, Evers and Barnes was a winning ticket in 2018. And I think they balance each other out pretty well. And I think it matters that they would both be on the ballot in 2022 as well. So I think, you know, there might be some more moderate voters that would be most motivated to go to the polls for Evers. But are they going to go to the poll and vote for Evers and Ron Johnson? Are there going to be those kind of split ticket votes? I mean, maybe Wisconsin has a real independent streak. You know, in 2018, the example that I tend to use all the time is the four counties in Northeast Wisconsin, Winnebago, Outagamie, Brown, and Door. All four went for Tammy Baldwin and all four went for Scott Walker.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin has a real independent streak with this. So it's hard to say, you know, how that might break. We had some polling on the head to head within this Senate matchup against Johnson. Lazary kind of polled the worst, but it was all within the margin of error. It was all, you know, it was all pretty neck and neck. It's Wisconsin. Every race is a toss-up. Every statewide race is a toss-up in Wisconsin.
That so, it is. And it's interesting to think how, yeah, Edwina just says. And when we come back, there's another statewide election that I want to talk about because it's, for years has been non-consequential, and this year it's in this very weird predicament of being very consequential, potentially. But then I also just want to talk about when we come back, like, or maybe we get your thoughts right now quickly on turnout. And we see in the spring primaries, I mean, the spring elections, whether it was the mayor's race or any of the other nonpartisan elections that we had in the spring, and there was not a lot of turnout, despite after having record turnout in 2020. And so when we come back, I kind of want to talk about enthusiasm to vote. Does current events motivate more people to vote? Who does that help? Who does that hurt? So when we come back, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this one crazy bonkers story for a statewide election. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Co-hosting today is Dan Shaver from the Recombobulation Area. Come back with us in just a couple minutes. Must not so crystal clear, but tonight it's like a stuck between stations.